Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and Celebrity Interviews live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic, Neil. I'm so excited to talk to our guest.
Yes, exactly, because he loves wine like you love wine. So I'm excited to welcome to the show Kevin Buckler. He's the founder and CEO of the Racers Group and Adobe Road Winery. Kevin, thanks for stopping by, man, and I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Kevin, so let me just jump right into this, specifically your race car driving career first. Let's talk about that. Explain that to us and how this mixes with the wine.
Yeah, sure. I'm a Southern California car kid and a Newport Beach surfer kid from way back in the 70s. And when I went away to, you know, seek your fame and fortune, I ended up going into a real estate business in the Midwest and worked my butt off and always had a little car, have some fun with it. And when I came back to the Midwest, we're a little company. They're kind of taking a chunk out of like an armor, Under Armour and Nike. And I decided it was time to exit. And so what am I going to do? You know, what I love to do is cars and wine. Came back to California in 92. You know that joke. How do you make a small fortune in? So we figured out a way to not risk our capital and started racing. No internet, no anything. Magazine ads and a lot of people pushing from behind. And indeed, we started a professional sports team based around Porsche race cars. And that was in 92. And it was the Rocky Balboa story that just kept growing and growing.
That's cool.
Oh, that's phenomenal. So you won a bunch of like Rolex races. Tell me about those.
Yeah, we were starting to race. It was in, you know, local sports car events, local autocross events. And I think I'd had a proper shot ever in a pro race. But one of my good friends, Mike Kobler from Togo's, he was with me in the stands. And 1994, all the big boys are there. And he's like, "Hey, Kev," boom, hits me on the shoulder. "What are you going to do? We should do this race next year." I'm like, "Mike, it's expensive." He's like, "Ah, I'll cover the car. You figure it out." So, all right, the gauntlet is thrown down. So now it's time, you know, a year later, here we are trying to get the car going. But the cool thing there at Sonoma Raceway back then was everybody was very collaborative. You know, we had everybody was helping. You know, it was like it was our car, you know, our team. And so we debuted the car. And, you know, I remember the guys sticking their microphones in at the last minute saying, "You know, how are you going to do? All your heroes are out here today." And I'm like, "I just want to stay out of the way." And we won. We won. And so nice. A right flag to flag to flag. And I think Deborah and I were driving home that night saying, "I think we just changed our life in some way." Well, fast forward, you know, to 2002, which is 10 years of business. And I had a bunch of really cool partners that had been involved with us on the racing side. They'd been taking in money, making money with their sponsorships any way they could. And they said, "You know, we would love to." I've been going to Daytona for 7 years at that point and always getting my butt whooped because the resources are incredible to try to make it work. So we went down there, brought it equipped, trained. They said, "Look, we'll back you if you promise to try to, you know, do what you're going to do." And indeed, we went down there and we freaking won the thing. And we were a total no-name team. We were staying in a crappy hotel, double up on the rooms. My wife called it the Stinky Cheese Hotel. Right next to the track, so you didn't get any sleep either, so that's never very good. But no, it was just all really bad until the green flag, until the checkered flag dropped. Then it was really good. So, but it taught us kind of a lesson, I think, at that point. And the very next race was where our, I think, world really changed. You know, we'd been, I'm a strategy guy. That's my thing. So the logistics and all that other stuff, even with the design, you know, I design all the stuff, but I can't draw stick figures. So we have a really good team. And I will say that over and over and over, team, team, team. I might be the quarterback, but I can't do anything without that team. So here we go. Going back to Le Mans, gonna race, a little tight, crappy hotel, you know, limited resources, but we had a good car, good group, good guys. And it was always intimidating. I said, "Guys, listen, close those garage doors and don't look around. Because it's the worst thing you could possibly do. Just don't look around. Look, we beat some of these guys last, you know, a couple months ago at Daytona. And, you know, we're good. And let's be humble and let's do our job. But let's, whatever we do." The one thing we learned, you cannot change the course. You cannot change the hype. You cannot change. What you can change is your own personal performance. And it sounds so simple, but in professional endurance racing, the number one thing you have to watch out for is enforcers. And man, oh man, fuel and tires are the strategy, but sure enough, you know, it's just something goes wrong. You're chasing the guy down into the bus stop, going a little too deep. Your hair is on fire. You're the number two driver for Porsche in the world. You're going to get this guy. You're going to get him. And then you got your splitter too at the same time. So just reinforce here as you can. And that was our goal, and we did it, and we won.
So, you know, it's amazing. What heroes did you beat that one day that changed your life?
The factory drivers that we'd been chasing before, you know, all the guys, I think it was Lucas Lohr and Sasha Mawson and a lot of the factory Porsche drivers, and then from the other teams as well, from Ferrari. And us Porsche guys, we don't pay as much attention to that, but they are very fast, done very well. But it was the big boys at the time. So we became one of them.
And I want to understand more professional racing outside of some of the, what is the professional racing you compete in? And what's the difference between some of these other racing venues and things like that? Yeah.
Sure. It's easy for me to explain because a lot of times people are confused. You know, the confusion within professional sports car racing is there's so many classes. You know, you don't know which one, a prototype one or a prototype two or a GT1 or a GT2. You know, if I had my way a long time ago, I would have probably ended it all and just been GT1 and GT2. But I got slapped for that when I said that one time. But we love seeing the manufacturers involved at the high level with the prototypes. And they are amazing using, you know, new green technology and the things they do to sort of, you know, win on Sunday, sell on Monday type of thing. But yeah, we run four different classes. We're running in the basic class that looks like the car behind me back here. It's a GT. GT Porsche number 66, and you recognize it as a Porsche. You recognize the Astons, you recognize the BMWs. And so I think that ends up being a lot of a fan favorite, and I think that's cool. But of an 80 car field at Le Mans or Daytona, we're 40-50 of the cars, and it's always been challenging, really challenging there.
Isn't that wild, Greg? I mean, think about Daytona and then the places he's been able to be racing in and how he started from the ground up to get to that. That's a great success story.
Below the ground we start.
Below the ground.
You know, from surfing in Newport Beach, right? To this, that's amazing.
Newport Harbor High School, baby. They don't think, you know, I got it.
There you go.
I just started this 2 years ago. It's the COVID protest here. I get a lot of shit for it, but it's okay. We'll see what happens.
That's crazy. Hey, you have to get a Porsche-based e-foil. You know, jump on one of those, ride those waves.
Ooh, I like that.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, let's talk about the winery, Adobe. Ooh. I love that. Tell me about that. I looked at some of the bottles. They were pretty amazing. You know, Redline and Gear, and it was pretty
good. We got anything here? Yeah, so I'll grab one behind us. So we started the winery called Adobe Road. We started it as our prime brand. And it started back in 2002. And me and a couple of buddies back here, and I realized I was actually getting invited to be the cellar rat because we needed someone to clean barrels and stuff. I said, yeah, okay, I got to use my calls are getting answered. Now I got to start over again. But we make 14 different wines from an entry-level Sauv Blanc in Knights Valley to a Primo Bottega Lupe. What's the name of the vineyard? Or San Camillo Pinot Noir or Chardonnay, all the way up to the Beckstaff or Napa Cab. And the significance of that, and how funny how the world ties together, is my friend and I were car guys when we started, but we couldn't find anything significant to come up with our names. There is a little secret I don't mind showing you. I don't show very often. Right on the hill of this bottle right there, there's the outline of a 911 Porsche.
Oh, it's I can see
every.
It.
It's on every single bottle we make. And the funniest story I've ever, I'm in Germany at the banquet with the big boys at the Porsche banquet. And someone comes over and says, you know, Mr. Moldar, I'd like to see you. I think he was the president at the time. I'm like, oh, shit, what happened? And he looks at me and he says, you see this? You see this right here? This is not approved. Not approved. I'm like, you need to take these off all. I'm like, can't take them. And then he looks at me, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds. Just kidding. Anyway, they're drinking the wine, having a good time. So that's our brand. We have about 15 wines in the WRO. We're really into the diversity in a different sense. We like making a lot of wines, and my winemaker does a great job. I'm kind of the palate of the winery. I've got a big cellar at home. I read a lot. I travel. I my magazines, but I can't make wine. And so one of the things I learned going back to the Le Mans days is, you know, synergy and teamwork is by far best. If you can get someone that you can, the sum of the whole is greater than the sum, it's a really good thing. Well, we started the second brand, and that was the kickoff with, we wanted to have some fun. If you guys remember that Prisoner, that little son of a gun, sold for almost $300 million. And so this has got the tipping tachometer on the front here that moves with the bottle. Wow. That's always fun. And the wine's delicious. And this one's the Shift, which I love because not only is it a great wine, got a 93 in Parker, but of course it's got my old, we're non-denominational here. It's got a gated Ferrari shifter in the front and a pop top. And I hand this to someone, and just before I hand it, I say, wait a minute, ma'am, you can drive a stick shift, right? And she says, no. I go, you can't take that bottle. Anyway, fun with that. This one's called the 24. And it's the 24 is a kind of a place that Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, really into these blends. And it's hard to make the wine. It's hard to win the watch. So we have a little bit of fun with that. Really good wine. We have our newest one. Well, there's the Big Dog Cabernet. This will fight anything in the valley. This is a grenade blend. You know, when you can kind of genetically enhance the wines with a little bit of this and a little bit of that, you got a little bit of an advantage. But this new one was great because this one's called Carbon. And Carbon was the Petite Syrah Malbec Petite Verdot, kind of the purple tooth stainer. And we're asking everybody in the company here, you give us some ideas for names. And Black Flag came up. I'm like, some people crash. I'm like, what about Burnout? I'm like, aren't you the same guy that said skid marks last week? I said, you're out, man. So we came up with Carbon, and it's really nice. The bottle is a true carbon piece on the front. It's got some little hex screws on it, and it's got a little, as you can see on the top here, a little hex access point. And we make a new white wine called 66, and that is a blend. It's our new Chardonnay Marsan Viognier. And my current co-driver, Derek DeBoer, who's running with us, is kind of taking the handle. And it's a delicious red blend. And again, I love blends because why not? I mean, I feel like you can always do better with these things. The Chianti Classicos of the old worlds are not what we're doing here. We're making them delicious.
You know what I'm noticing is he's niching down so much in race cars. So people that are going to buy his wine are going to be huge race car fans. I know you want to go to everybody else, but you know that. Is anyone else trying to design their bottles to be like race cars? It's such a great idea.
No, there's a few other companies that have done some clever packaging stuff, but ours was done, which I'm proud of, is it's been my whole style. We didn't go to an agency to help us with a story. You know, ours is a story, and it's about our story. And I think that means a lot, especially to the friends and fans that are involved, but then it's, I just think it's more serious. And, at the end of the day, though, you better not make crappy wine. The wines have to be good or it's kitschy. So we were really hard on the quality of the wines day after day.
Oh, that's excellent. I got to buy some and stick them down in the grotto. That's for sure.
You do. We got an empty cellar there. I can fill some of those holes up for you, man.
There you go.
So, Kevin, you yourself race cars still? Are you still racing cars?
Just for fun. We did a couple things with the Sonoma Grand Prix last year. Here's our 3 liter. This is a big boy here. and so I probably am going to come back because really good news is I just had a rotator cuff that I needed to get fixed. Took me 4 tries. Now I got to be kind of dumb to do 3 tries like that. So I got my 4th one. And then my old co-driver, Mikey Schramm, and I might come back and run with Noel Lee from Monster Table. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's such a big world right now. And it's, you know, vibrant and fun, and people are doing stuff. And while we're there, we throw a couple wine dinners. I mean, it all seems to kind of come together really nicely. We make everything work, like what we're doing with the winery over here. I think we make everything work in a way that it's a little Facebook model. No one's ever done it over here in the wine world, where everybody's kind of, everything dovetails together really nicely.
That's impressive, Greg. It's impressive his ability to come up with this idea.
No, it's amazing. It's so incredible. But, you know, I want to ask you a question real quick. I ask everybody this question, but you know, what's the most important thing you feel that you've ever learned?
The value of good teamwork. You couldn't do it without it. And I mean it, and I say it, and I'm genuine about it. I mean, you can go out to those races and you can crash on the first turn, but I'll tell you this quick story because this is my takeaway. We used to go to speaking to a kid, one of my kids' science classes, all the way to 500 people from New York Life during Zoom. They would send 500 boxes of wine, whether it's a one pack, two pack, and they'd all get on at a certain time. And the messaging was kind of cool. They might have a little bit of messaging about their company for 30 minutes. And then it was, boom, me and Garrett. For those of you who remember Johnny Carr and Ed McMahon, you know, we were the entertainers for the next 30 minutes and have a lot of fun. When I told people, I said, look, the one thing we learned over the years, this endurance racing mentality. And what that means is, you know, we get to these races and typically like the kids going to somewhere, going to Vegas, whatever. You look at the bling and you're focusing on the wrong end of the spectrum. And what you really should be focusing on is what can take you down. So in every case, whenever we go anywhere, whatever we do, first and foremost, we focus on what can take us down. What are the risks? How severe are they? And get really good at those things. I mean, shore them up, practice them, study them. And then, you know, when you're ready to go, you know what those downsides are. And believe it or not, how much that helps you. I mean, I have been on the track when two Porsche factory cars go driving by you. Let's not even use the Porsche word factory. And they're passing you so fast and they're chasing each other that they crash at 17 hours in the race. It's like, what were you knuckleheads thinking? I mean, my gosh, learning how to flow with traffic, learning how to, when to hold them, when to fold them type of thing. So I think that's one of the most challenging and difficult things is having patience to run these races properly and personally, not give up, not back down, but just limit your mistakes. That's the main thing. Unforced errors are the name of the game in terms of taking it down.
Wow. You know, I was looking at you've raced in almost everything, your company. And that's got to be fantastic to know, especially when there's an entry level into this industry, right? And you chose not to follow that entry level, right? You chose to think out of the box. What advice do you offer out of the box thinkers that are entrepreneurs to figure out how they can not hear everyone, all the naysayers saying you shouldn't do this. This is not something to do. Go do it. Because if you look hindsight being 2020, your entry level into the race car business is not easy. And you chose a different route and it happened because you believed in it. What advice would you offer those people?
No, Neil, you're very, very good point and good observation, because if you listen to everybody else, you'd still be. I think they all want to keep you down in a certain way. I love our business. It's very collaborative, but nobody wants a new team to come in and sort of have a great first year, run away with it. So, we came in here. We already done our homework. We were very, very cautious about coming in, kept our mouths shut, and then did our business. I think my biggest advice there is to, know the risks, try to study your competitors, learn as much as you can, and just be ready for the downside and hope for the upside. There's so many complicated little avenues about it that you can be taken. And then people can kind of manipulate that a little bit into getting into your head, as they say, so to speak. He got into my head, so. Don't let that happen.
Any other questions, Greg, you have for Kevin?
Your wine, where is it available? Is it national? Is it?
Sure. We're small, but we're just starting off. It's Adobe Road Wines with an S.com. Adobe Road Wines with an S.com. You can even go to our Racers Group site, theracersgroup.com, and you can toggle between the two companies. We're so intertwined on stuff. And don't worry, there won't ever be any exhaust smell in the beautiful Grenache here. My winemaker has a beautiful facility a few miles away. Eventually, though, it will be all under one facility. One of the neat things about the new business is that 25, I don't know if I can screen share or not, but if I can, I would show you. I've got a $25 million beautiful winery that works just right in the middle of building right now. And she's going.
Screen share. Go ahead. Let's see this.
All right.
See this.
Yeah, better Better get up here, make it very fast here.
You can figure it out as Greg.
Oh, I got it. I got it.
And let's see. I want to see this for sure.
Okay. So hold on a second.
All right.
Here we go.
Okay. This is perfect. This share something $25 million, you said?
Yeah, we started from scratch and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And here's the bottles. I'll show you this one too, really.
You don't see any of the screen, so don't worry about it. I wish you could get to the screen, but you haven't been able to share it. Now it goes. Here comes the screen share. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, that's the screen share right there. But the one you want to see is this one really fast. And I'm going to show you the website and then I'm done. So the website on it is our website. It's got a little screen on the
Make sure you hit the area that the mark where because when you shared screen, you shared the wrong screen. So that's again something that an IT professional like Greg would tell you that's a no-no. That will be edited out.
Do you want to see something so cool that no one's ever seen before? It's a walkthrough of the winery, high def 3D. Takes just under 3 minutes if you have the time. It is so bitchin'.
We can do it off air. That's perfect. Let's just do that off air. So we're going to kind of finish up. The best place, Kevin, to find information on you again is?
AdobeRoadWines.com will be the best one.
All right. Sounds good, Kevin. We appreciate it. All right. That was the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and celebrity interviews live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Take care, guys.